Morning, everybody. And a happy summer Sunday to you all. As you can see, we've got our summer configuration here, and we also have some summer service music. That's quite lovely. So I thought we'd just maybe give you a shot at singing that through before we do it in the service. Also, a couple of announcements of upcoming things. We have our last recital of the season here at the church on Saturday, a wonderful program with Eliza and Alexander, harp and piano and bassoon. So that's at 7:30 on Saturday night. And also, our son Adam has a show on this coming week at Fanshawe Pioneer Village. So if you're interested in either of those, there are some flyers over there, or just come and see me after the service, and that would be great. But enough advertising. To the service music. Some of you may have picked this up on the way in from our greeters, but both the Holy Holy, the Sanctus, and the Lamb of God, the Agnus Dei, are based upon English folk songs. The nice thing about English folk songs is they're really easy to sing because there's lots of repetition. So if you know the song Down by the Sally Garden, Irish folk song, English folk song, this is what the tune is. Da 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 da, if you recognize the melody. And that happens three times. So three quarters of that song are based upon that melody. So if you have the sheet, follow along here. And if you're going to wait for it to come up on the slides, you can just listen right now, and the choir down here in front will sing it for you. Everybody good? One, two, three. O Lord of hosts, all holy, a God of power. Same music, different words. Heaven and earth are full of your glory and of your eternal light. Different. The angels sing Hosanna. The earth repeats the same. O Lord in highest heaven, we glorify your name. Wonderful. And then it proceeds with essentially a second verse and a refrain there. That's the Sanctus that we will use for the summer. If you turn the page over, the setting of the Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God, is based on a folk song collected by Ralph Vaughan Williams. And it's entitled Lyndon Lee. And it's a little bit higher up. And the tune's a little trickier, but it's slow, so we'll all get it very easy. I just lost my key. So, got it. So it goes like this. The tune is da 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 da. Let's try that choir, shall we? And go. O Lamb of God, our Lord most holy, who redeems us from our sin, grant us mercy, the proud and lowly, make us gracious from within. Give us peace, we deeply pray, as we worship you today. O Lamb of God, you take away our sin. Grant us peace. Grant us peace. Yeah, lovely melody. I think fits really nicely with that service text. Depending on your church attendance this summer, you're going to know these really well by the end of August, perhaps. Thank you for that this morning, and we'll turn it over to Michael.
Well, welcome, everybody. This is the congregation that reads their emails and listens to the announcements during church, because this is our first Sunday of 10 o'clock worship. Look for everybody who pops in at 10:30. You have my permission to give them the evil eye. We'll just stop and watch them as they come in. No, we won't do that. We'll be polite and nice people. But thank you for being here at 10. You'll see that we've switched to our summer configuration of bringing the altar in closer to the people. One of the reasons for that is because it gets so hot up there and wearing all of this is ridiculous. So we'll be down here. The blue chairs are not exclusively for the choir. The choir is sitting there today, but you are also welcome to sit in the comfy blue chairs and come up closer while we are down to one service. There are a few other announcements. First, a huge, huge, huge thank you to Julie Ryan and Reverend Ann for organizing the gathering on the green. The bubble solution that we had was one of the most popular things. The church booth that we were beside, we were here and Wesley Knox was here. Everyone came to us and not them. So they wanted our recipe for the bubble solution. I gave it to them, so next year it might be a competition, but we'll see. But huge thank you. It was so popular. We had tons of kids. The entire time Gathering the Green was going on. Thank you to all the volunteers who came, hung out, and helped tie bubble wands and rods. It was just a wonderful, wonderful day. With that, there's an announcement that next Sunday is the church picnic. It will also be at 10 o'clock, and weather permitting and God willing, we'll be out on the backyard. So bring a lawn chair, bring something comfy, we'll set it up. There will be some tables and chairs set up. Am I missing anything? John.
And if you could, bring an appetizer, dessert, or salad, please. And so that part of the potluck, we'll take care of the hamburgers and
all. Perfect. I think that's everything. Okay. Well, welcome. And I think we'll process in with the opening hymn. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And let us pray. O God, your Son, Jesus Christ, has left to us this meal of bread and wine, in which we share his body and his blood. May we who celebrate this sign of his great love show in our lives the fruits of his redemption. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Remember the long way that the Lord, your God, has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, in order to humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, an arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow for you from flint rock. He fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you, and in the end, to do you good. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant it is to honor God with praises.
The Lord heals the broken hearted and binds up their wounds.
The Lord counts the number of the stars and calls them all by their names.
Great is the Lord and mighty in power. There is no limit to the wisdom of God.
The Lord covers the heavens with clouds and prepares rain for the earth,
making grass to grow upon the mountains and bring plants to
worship the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion.
For the Lord has established peace on your borders and satisfies you with the finest wheat. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed amongst themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which the ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Did anyone catch a theme in the readings today? It was a little heavy-handed. In fact, I have a bonus third reading for us today. It's only two verses, but it might sum up the theme that we heard this entire time. So this is your bonus third Bible reading for this Sunday. It comes from 1 Corinthians, and it says this: "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? And the bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." The word of the Lord. Oh, you guys are good. Today is an optional feast day that is not actually a feast day in the Anglican Church, but Anglicans have been celebrating it and recognizing it long enough that it's put into our book as, you're not supposed to, but if you have to, this Sunday is the Sunday to celebrate the Feast of Corpus Christi, which is Latin and fancy for Body of Christ. And I thought, looking at this option, you don't have to, we don't want to, but you can, as, hey, wouldn't that be fun? It's the first Sunday of our time together in our summer configuration. I knew that there would be chairs a little bit closer, and so I thought this would be a really neat time to talk about what the church does as part of its Sunday service. What we do with the fancy things up here and why we do it. And so this is going to be your invitation. If you have always sat at the back of the church your entire time, or if your wooden pew has been ergonomically molded to you, you can also come forward to see things from a different perspective. Because if there's one thing that can cause a fight in a church, it's how we celebrate the Eucharist. Really, if you look at all the denominations, what we think is going on there is one of the biggest things that we fight about. Who's heard the term transubstantiation? Yeah, a few of those. Who's heard the term consubstantiation? A couple more. Who's heard amanesis? Anne's showing off. So basically what it is there's a really spiritual thing that's happening when we come up here. And as humans, we are really bad at letting God be God and just letting the mystery unfold. And we try to compartmentalize it, we try to analyze it, and we try to figure out exactly what's happening. I remember in my seminary, I learned that in the Latin prayer that was said in the Middle Ages, at a certain point, once you got to the letter P in this sentence, that's when God did whatever God's going to do with the Eucharist. And so that was the point that the holy magic happened. And then my professor said, it's a shame that Jesus didn't speak Latin and spoke Aramaic instead. What we do is important. There was a time that communion wasn't the primary service at an Anglican church. Does anyone remember communion being the rare service and morning prayer being what we typically did? Sandy remembers it. A few. Yeah, there was a shift about making communion more central to what the church does for a couple of reasons. One is that there is a profound leveling of the playing field. Everyone who comes to this table receives bread and wine from the chalice. Everyone. It doesn't matter if you're a multimillionaire or the King of England. I almost said Queen. The King of England. Or if you're someone who's just come off the street. Coming to receive at the Lord's table is an equalizing thing for all of us. Some churches like to hand out little plastic cups instead of the creepy... not the creepy, but the beautiful, beautiful, lovely silver chalice that we all share. A lot of research has gone into how the Anglican Church offers the sacrament. Did you know that with a silver chalice and the alcohol from the wine, during the SARS pandemic, scientific studies were proven that it's actually safer to drink from the same cup than it was to dip your fingers into it, hence why we don't allow the dunking of the wafer anymore. And yet some people still feel uncomfortable with that. It's okay. See, I truly believe that as coming to this table, we engage with God in the way that God has us prepared. The way that God has invited us is true for each and every one of us. We meet God where we're at, not where somebody in the funny robes says that we should meet them. But the scripture tells us that something powerful and something spiritual happens when we gather together and we say these prayers and we share the bread and wine. And I believe that. But I also know that I'm human and that I can get distracted by things, that I can be in the middle of the prayer and think, oh man, did I pick up the groceries that Heather asked me to? And so that's why you'll notice that because I view this as a special and holy thing, I do a lot of little actions and a lot of little things to keep myself engaged and focused in the moment. When I've been celebrating, has anyone noticed I hold my hands like this? Anne doesn't, but I do. The reason that I do is because I pinch my two fingers on the corporal, the white cloth on the altar, and wipe them clean. And I only open my thumb and my first finger when I'm touching the bread, because I'm worried that the crumbs might drop onto the floor. And if this bread truly and spiritually is the body of Christ, then I want to treat it specially and holy. And by keeping my thumbs pinched together, I make sure that I drop no minuscule microscopic crumbs anywhere at all. It also keeps me engaged in the moment. Have you ever tried holding a cup like this? Really awkward. But it keeps me focused on what I'm doing. Saying the prayers, making symbols of the cross over the chalice at different points in the service, help me to remain focused and engaged in what is going on in this beautiful prayer. And something that we do at St. James that doesn't happen in every Anglican church is when I elevate the chalice or the bread, even when Anne does it, there's someone at the back of the church on the bells that makes them ring three times for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As we hold that chalice or that piece of bread up, we trust, and that's a big part of it, we trust that God does something in that moment, that that bread and wine either literally becomes the body and blood of Christ, if you are a transubstantiation person, or has the real presence of Jesus placed in it some mystical and spiritual way, or it's a powerful symbol. I'm not about to tell you which one it is, because we meet God where God calls us to meet him. And one of the places that God constantly invites us is to this altar. And who am I to be the arbiter of how you meet God? On this feast of Corpus Christi, where we celebrate the Eucharist and the central act of worship together, I invite you to draw closer. Literally, if you want to see what's going on, stand up, grab some of these chairs. Wow, they're very Anglican. They're rooted. If you would like to see what's going on, come closer. Because there is something powerful that happens when we gather and we celebrate. My favorite Anglican theologian is a fellow by the name of Richard Hooker. And here's a prayer that invites us to be said after communion. And to paraphrase, it says this: whatever way that God makes his present known, who am I to judge and who am I to know? The only thing that I hold in my heart is this: O my God, you are true. O my soul, you are happy. Let us be happy that God meets us in this central act of worship that we have together. Amen. Would the congregation please stand? Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I'd invite the congregation to adopt a position of prayer for the prayers of the people.
The response to the prayers of the people this morning. Lord, we will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon your name. Jesus, servant Lord, in your final moments with your disciples, you chose to give us an example of loving service. Fill your church with this servant heart. May the love we display be worthy of your calling and name. Lord, we will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon your name. Jesus, servant Lord, in explaining your actions to bemused disciples, you reminded them that all authority is derived from you. Give all who lead and govern due humility, humility in their position. Prevent all with power from becoming puffed up and overbearing. Lord, we will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon your name. Jesus, servant Lord, in taking the bread and cup, you gave a feast in remembrance of you. Bind together all who share in this fellowship and this communion. Keep us from betraying our hope in you. Lord, we will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon your name. With your broken bread and blood outpoured, we hold before your healing grace our pains and our sorrows. We think today especially of Kate, Terry, Christine, Beverly, Jimmy, Sally, Brian, Charles and family, Cheryl. Lord, we will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon your name. Jesus, servant Lord, as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death until you come again. Draw to yourself all who have died. Glorify your name and bring us to life with you. Lord, we will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon your name. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. And Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Would the congregation please stand? And during the peace, it's a perfect time to move forward and come around the altar if you want to. Okay, we'll see. We'll see. We might try this again. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us share that peace with one another. Well, the kids have taken all the spots, so you've missed your chance to move forward. But watch. Observe what we do this day. Take notes, ask questions, for that's how we draw closer to the heart of God. It goes for you guys too. Let us pray. Father, we spread this table to remember the loving sacrifice of Jesus Christ, your Son. Accept all we offer you this day. Bind us together in his love and in the love that he has commanded us to bring one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. By water and the Holy Spirit, you have made us a holy people in Jesus Christ our Lord. You renew that mystery in bread and wine, and nourish us to show forth your glory in all the world. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the holy people who have served you in every age, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconciling all things in Christ and making them new, bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation, by whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We, being many, are one body, for we all share in the one bread. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The two sides come up first, and Jerry and I will administer. Yeah. The body of Christ broken for you.
our God, we seek thy guidance, for thou alone dost life bestow. If dark our path, thy light doth guide us, as in thy love and truth we grow. As in thy love and truth we grow. We shall endure when trials beset us. Thou art our shield when fears assail us, and through thy mercy are we restored. Thou art our life, our God, our Lord. Thou art our life, our God, our Lord.
Let us pray. God of peace, you have nourished us in this sacrament with the body and blood of Christ. May we who have taken holy things keep faith in our hearts and lives. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Please stand. And we say together, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you this day and always. Amen. Our service of worship has come to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.